Hey, great friends. What's happening? Today is Tuesday afternoon. Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. And before we get started, of course, you know, I want to just plug and give love to all of our great sponsors and partners. I'll start with 7 Mile Casino. Obviously, you know the love I have for them after last week and the comedy show that we put on and the amazing dinner that they served. And by the way, we didn't even really get into the menu. I mean, all we did was salads and pizzas, kind of the classic Sammy's wood fire pizza stuff. But I'm telling you right now, when you go to 7 Mile Casino and Sammy's Restaurant and Bar inside, brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, best in South County, according to San Diego Magazine. The menu is going to really shock you because you think of Sammy's, you think of salads and pizzas, but it's an amazing menu. And so whether it's great food, gaming, I mean, we couldn't even get on a blackjack table last Thursday night. Smoke-free environment, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego, amazing food, gaming. If you want all that and the best location and smoke-free, you got it. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com is their website. And as always, if you have any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. I do want to thank everybody who has already purchased Athletic Greens through us. You get these 5 free travel packs, plus you get the 1-year supply of vitamin D. And I'll tell you guys right now, if you go hard like I do, and you do it every day, and you have long-ass days. I mean, I didn't get home last night from L.A., playing LA Cap last night at the Lakers game. I didn't get home till midnight, you know? And so if you have long, hard days, you got to properly nourish your body. And I know for me, I don't eat well enough to get all the nutrients I need from food. So 75 nutrients, vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, all of it wrapped up right there in Athletic Greens. Take care of yourself with athleticgreens.com/Kaplan. All of the travel packs and the vitamin D, all the free stuff is all right there in the offer with athleticgreens.com/Kaplan. Quick shout out to our friends at Penske San Diego, penskesandiego.com. This is the website that you use if you're looking to buy or lease a new car, because what these guys do is they make things just really easy and fast. Because if you go to their website and you search their inventory, 12 dealerships, 9 different brands, you'll see that it is a very fast, convenient, easy process. You tell them, hey, I'm going to be coming to Mazda of Escondido. That's one of the Penske dealerships. These are the cars I'm interested in. They have them ready to go for you so you can test drive them when you get there. So thanks to some of our great sponsors. We'll talk more about others at the halftime report of the show. But let's get started on a Tuesday. Hey, great friends. What's going on? Today is Tuesday. This is Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man. What's going on back there? Somebody got something going on as we're just getting onto the airwaves?
Yeah, dude. I apologize. There's lots of construction over here today.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you got going on down there in North Park?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot.
A lot going on. Okay. I'm with you. Hey, we're just getting on to the radio. We're just getting on to television tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. on Channel 4 San Diego, the Cox Urview Network, all throughout the state of California. We're jumping on to YouTube, which I know was a very active, very, very active live chat yesterday. And I'm sure it'll be lively again today. And all the social platforms that you can find us on, we're so easy to find. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, you name it, we're on it. Audio podcast, pretty much everywhere. So, hey, look, we're just getting rolling on a Tuesday. You guys, I assume, were watching this Lakers-Warriors game last night on television. I was there in Crypto.com Arena. I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked. I mean, I am. I definitely was sending positive vibrations for a Laker victory. But, you know, I'm not positive I really thought they were going to win that game. But I guess on the other hand, you know, if you really, really look at Golden State throughout the year, they didn't play well on the road. Their record would indicate that. But they're going home now. And I mean, don't we all kind of think that they'll win on Wednesday and then game 6 will be in L.A. on Friday? And if the Lakers win that, obviously they move on. If they lose it and they got to go back to San Francisco, I think they're in huge trouble. But, man, Lonnie Walker last night, what a story of a guy who was a starter early in the season, who really gets benched essentially because he got hurt and then they made all the trades and then his playing time went away with the emergence of other guys. And Lonnie Walker off the bench, 15 points in the fourth quarter last night. And to me, because Grande, you know I'm a story type guy. I'm more into the story than I am the X's and O's of a game. To see LeBron James go to Lonnie Walker as the game ended and embrace him and, you know, talk in his ear and whatever was said, and he talked about it after the game, LeBron. But to see a young kid like this have that moment, and then to have a player like LeBron put his arm around him, essentially kind of saying like, thank you. Without you, we don't win this game. Without you, we are not, you know, continuing on. I don't know, man. There was an emotional angle to it that I liked a lot. I was happy for a kid like Lonnie Walker last night. I don't know about you guys. What it looked like on TV?
Looked like exactly like it looked in person, probably. I mean, there was no question about it in the fourth quarter. AD was out of gas. AD was out of gas in the second quarter, let's be honest.
Yeah.
LeBron James was out of gas. They were doing very, very, very well. That's three or four varies right there. On the defensive end in the fourth quarter. But it also helped that Steph Curry ran out of gas because he had absolutely no help yesterday. Klay Thompson had a stinker of a game. Andrew Wiggins was okay. Everybody else was awful. Draymond Green was awful. So Steph Curry had absolutely no help, which is you survived the Steph game, but he also had like absolutely no help. But yeah, it was great to see. Lonnie Walker was the Lakers' best player for a while. Like, that's what's kind of, I was very intrigued that he just totally played himself out of the rotation somehow, because when LeBron and AD were hurt, him and Russell Westbrook were the top two scorers of the team. Lonnie Walker, how many times did I say in October, like, isn't it refreshing to see someone with athleticism on the Lakers like Lonnie Walker? Because of the old man that we've had on that roster forever, and now you see someone that could actually jump and be agile. So is it surprising that he stepped up? Yeah, especially as cold as he's been, just on ice. So, Scott, I mean, I think to answer your question the very long way, it looked exactly like it did in person as it did on TV.
Brown, what'd you think about last night?
I think it's time that people start giving Darvin Ham credit. I think it's time that people start giving Rob Pelinka credit, because I didn't know Lonnie Walker was going to do that. I don't think Lonnie Walker knew Lonnie Walker was going to do that. But he showed up. Austin Reeves had a great game. Vanderbilt was so tired at one point, they cut to him on the bench. He was gasping for air, chasing around Steph Curry. Like, that game.
He played Lakers, 11 minutes.
Yeah, but his knees were wrapped like he played 48.
Right. That game was won by the Lakers. The Lakers won that game. The Warriors didn't throw it away. The Lakers won that game. But my bigger takeaway from that game is that the Warriors I think it's over. I think the series is over. I'm sure they'll win another game because they play better at home, because Jordan Poole's been absent. He'll play better at home. Kevon Looney will probably try to give you some if Steve Kerr lets him. Andrew Wiggins will be better. The Warriors' other guys will be better, like the Lakers' other guys were better at home. But Klay Thompson, bruh, what an embarrassment. You embarrassing your daddy out there, man. You really are. You really are embarrassing your daddy. This is the first time you are able to play his team in the playoffs. And boy, you stank. Boy, you stank bad. You stank real bad. You are a legendary shooter. You are one of the greatest shooters all time, only second to your teammate. Your career right now, boy, you stank bad. The only reason why you still out there is because Jordan Poole stank worse than you.
Well, that's he also it. Won him game two, basically. Not like he's been bad all series. He had an incredible game two.
But it is interesting. But it is interesting to see Jordan last Poole, night. Though. Between Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson last night, yikes, those two guys together, they scored a combined 9 points, and Klay scored all nine. For Klay Thompson to score nine
Lonnie
points.
Lonnie Walker outplayed both of them in one quarter.
Right. That's right. Lonnie Walker outscored Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole combined in one quarter. In fact, there was at one point, kind of late in the game, where Klay threw up some crazy three. And he's kind of by the Golden State bench. And you literally see Steve Kerr like, what are you doing? like throws his hands up in the air. What are you doing? To see a coach have that sort of
visual physical
relation. Yeah. Yes. With a player of that magnitude. Pretty surprising.
He made a three. And so like, okay. Cause once Klay makes one, and this is why I'm more disappointed in Klay than anybody else. When a guy that great makes one, you think, okay, he can make the next five. The next shot he took was so bad. It was so bad. It was from the right side of the court, basically from whatever that logo is on the court. He shot the ball from there with 7 seconds on the shot clock and a massive break. And then the next three he took was in front of Steve Kerr from almost equal the distance, and it was just as bad. I expect so much out of Klay Thompson. I have such high regard for him as a basketball player. For him to be as bad as he was, and Alex, yeah, he won game two. But a person of that caliber, game one, game three, game four, nothing. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad he didn't.
So. Yeah, me too. Me too. I'll tell you what. It's exciting.
It's very interesting to see because – yesterday was the first time I sat down and watched all 48 minutes, like very intently.
You told us that yesterday, that with no Padre game last night,
right?
Which just as a by the way, to go from Padres Dodgers, get a day off, fine, players need it, but to go into the Twins, like for me as a fan, like kind of boring, like to go from the Padres Dodgers.
The Dodgers were bored too. They got their rears kicked yesterday.
Oh, the Dodgers got too. Annihilated. But you know, it's kind of like you're on the road, you go to San Diego, you play, I'm not going to call it like an overly emotional series. It's kind of too early in the season, but you seem to put you put a lot of energy into winning that series and coming back on Sunday and winning that game. That by the time you leave Sunday and you schlep and you fly and you go and I mean, it's Monday, and you just came off winning 2 out of 3 against your, rival, no matter what fans do or don't want to say about a rivalry. Dodgers seemed a little, wiped out yesterday.
That series was a marker.
Alex, what do we got going on back there? There's something going on in your back. What do you got cooking there?
It's having
I can hear it. I don't know what it is. But when I put my headphones on, I can't hear it. Yeah, it's not a vacuum. There is like actual construction happening. All my windows are closed. There's not much I could do. I can mute myself.
No, it's all right. I just all of a sudden I thought maybe like there was going to be like a bulldozer pulling into the house.
Some sort of large drill going through concrete in the alley or something like that.
Isn't it funny how sometimes we can all hear background noise at each other's place? Like yesterday, you guys called me out. I think. For like birds chirping.
That was beautiful. It was majestic.
That was great.
It was like birds were singing.
Blue Jays or something out there.
It was like Mother Nature was on the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah, it was very
nice. Mine not so lovely. Pretty. Mine not so nice on the ears over here.
That's all right.
It's Dodgers. North Park is just constantly under construction right now, man.
All
of it, dude. Like if there is an empty building, it's under construction because it's going to be something soon.
Right. Mm-hmm. There are no empty lots left in North Park. Not a one.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Anyway, just back to this conversation. Dodgers get beat up by the Brewers yesterday, 9-3. Padres have the day off. And we were all kind of focused in on the Lakers. You were saying, though, that you actually sat down without a Padre game. And did spend the full 48 minutes watching the entire game.
Yeah. I even watched Knicks versus Heat, the whole thing. So I really did sit down and kind of got... Anyways, my only point of saying that is it is very interesting to see the older players. And honestly, I know AD is not as old as LeBron, but I feel like physically is.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating to see... Like, Steph's not young either. Steph's got a lot of minutes under his legs, too. So to see those three guys essentially, and maybe Klay's dealing with it too. Klay's battled a ton of leg injuries. He's 33 years old. Mm-hmm. He's played a ton of extra minutes for making all these playoff runs. That's the other thing that like when you make NBA finals, which LeBron, Steph, and Klay have all done a lot, that's so many extra minutes that they've played that it is really fascinating to see just them. They're just running out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
They're running out of gas. I don't know. If LeBron has a 40-point game in him for the rest of the playoffs.
Okay.
Oh, he does. See, he got one. He got one.
And I actually had
one, right? Steph had one against the Kings.
50.
Yeah. And I just don't know because LeBron did it during the regular season. He actually played very well at the end of the season, averaging 30 plus whatever. But I don't know if this playoff intensity basketball, at night in, night out, going hard every single night, every other night, like, does he have it in him? Like, AD clearly doesn't. The dude was gassed after scoring 19 in the first quarter and a half. He was done. He took two shots in the third quarter. He took two shots in the fourth quarter. So I think it's something to keep an eye on. If you're talking about this team, the Lakers, and you guys saying the series is done, which I don't think it is.
I'm not sure it is either.
But if you're talking about this team making a deep run, physically, I don't know, man.
So I think that if you are looking at the Lakers right now, I think LeBron does have one more 40-point game in him. And I think he knows it. But he's holding that card as long as he possibly can, because he knows that'll be the last one he has in him for a while. So I can see him plotting. He doesn't play hard every quarter now. I think yesterday, there were two quarters where I didn't even know. Yeah, I know he was on the court. He played 40 minutes. But you can see when he needs to get going, he can get going in spurts. And I think if he gets to a game seven, whether it be in this series or the next series or in the championship, he can go, all right, I'm taking the rest of the day off tomorrow. Here we go. And he can get you whatever you need in a game seven, because he still has it. He hadn't lost it. He's just tired. He looks tired.
That's all I'm saying. They just look tired.
I just looked at him last night, and there were so many times where he took shots where I was like, LeBron, why are you taking these long, long threes? Number one,
they go in.
Number two, he's backing down towards the basket. He's being defended by Steph Curry. Curry's got his hand on LeBron's back, and LeBron is backing him down, and LeBron stops. He's 15 feet away from the basket. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're playing against a guy who's much smaller, much weaker. Like, work him. Take him to the rim. Yeah.
Every time we talked about how the Warriors they don't have a single person that can guard Anthony Davis. They definitely don't have anybody that can guard LeBron James when he decides to be aggressive driving it in. Nobody.
Yeah.
So when it is so frustrating to see LeBron just spot up from 25 feet out, you're like, I get it. You're tired, but that's not the shot. Give it to somebody else, man.
No. And there were a lot of times, especially late in the game, where he not only missed threes, but missed mid-range shots, missed close-up shots. But I'll tell you what, you know, this is the one thing about the Lakers as the year has gone on, is that LeBron has always said, at least during this year, everything should run through AD. And I feel like the entire regular season went by and it didn't really go to plan. And now it's not just going through AD, it's just trusting other guys. You know, maybe that sounds simple, but look, you can count on Austin Reeves. You can count on quality minutes from Dennis Schroeder. You got something from Lonnie Walker you weren't expecting. D'Angelo Russell, that guy is just completely hot and cold. You know,
here's the benefit the Lakers have. Every night you can spin that wheel and one of those dudes will show up, whether it be D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, now add Lonnie Walker to that mix. At some point it'll be Jared Vanderbilt. You can spin that wheel and a third guy is popping up and helping you win a game. The Warriors don't have that. They're spinning that wheel and a zero's coming up.
Take it to another level. Like, if you look around the league, in the West specifically, what's the Suns' biggest problem? They got nobody else. It's KD. It's nobody. KD and Booker. They got nobody. And the Lakers have been so fortunate that they have had someone, whoever it be, step up. Every time they win a game, someone else has stepped up.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody.
That's right. Well, let me say this. We'll get deeper into this. And I think that after the game last night, to hear from Lonnie Walker, which I thought was great, to hear from Steph Curry, we'll get into that. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff around this game last night and around this series. So we'll get into that. I did see last night, just by the way, when I was walking around crypto, I saw a lot of San Diego people, surprisingly, last night. I mean, like, people that I know, that were at the game and they're early and watching the pregame warmups. I was walking around the floor and then I stopped and talked to people. I was like, wow, you guys are San Diego people. I didn't know you came up for Laker games. And most of those people are like, what are you doing up here? And I'm like,
it's
I work
drive. What do you mean? It's
a short drive. Yeah, right.
LT told you. What do you?
It's 30 minutes. It's
what do you mean?
Right.
I take the coaster. What are you talking about?
We can't take the coaster because, you know, those clips in San Clemente. Oh, it is? It's open again?
Yeah. Late April, it opened again. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I would love to take the train rather than drive.
You should do it, man.
So listen, so besides Lakers Warriors, which is obviously something that we were all watching last night, definitely going to get into what is next for the Padres, because everything going on this week is really kind of to get you to the weekend, which is where the Padres will play the Dodgers again, only this time in Dodger Stadium. So we'll talk about the Padres coming up. I'll tell you some other things that are on my mind, more kind of hyper-local stuff today. I've been following the story of former San Diego State All-American punter, Matt Araiza. Gosh, I feel really bad for this young man. I really do. I mean, he kind of lost his career last year over accusations that have since been proven false. And will he ever get another shot in the NFL, or is his reputation so toxic that his punting skill is not good enough to overtake that? I want to get into that story as the afternoon goes on. Also, another story I want to get into is, are you guys seeing the reports that the MLS to San Diego is like a done deal? We're just kind of waiting on an official announcement from Major League Soccer. And so I want to talk about that as the afternoon goes on. So there's a bunch of like San Diego centric stories that I really want to get into. But Lakers Warriors, I must admit, just where we are in the season in the NBA versus where we are in the season in baseball, I'm more interested right now in the Lakers Warriors. In fact, last night I ran into a woman at the arena. She's a San Diego person. She owns a car dealership here in San Diego. And I said to her, I said, hey, I didn't know you came up for Laker games. And she said, this is what she said. Well, there are no sports in San Diego. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, you got the Padres and, you know, and Padres Dodgers this past weekend was exciting. She's like, yeah, but other than that, other than the Padres, if you want basketball or hockey or NFL football or whatever, she's like, you got to come up to LA. Like, this is what she was telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
How are the Kings doing in the playoffs?
Sacramento Kings?
No, the LA Kings.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
How are the Anaheim Ducks doing? Because I saw they got the number two pick in the draft. So
yeah,
I don't know what that lady's talking about. I don't know if she heard of a little thing called the Final Four.
Yeah, I think she but don't you understand what she's saying though? I mean, no. Like the only game in town is the Padres.
No.
No, I'm defensive. No. You're defensive about that?
The San Diego Wave are doing pretty damn well. They're the largest draw in NWSL.
Okay. When's their next home game?
I think it just happened this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And did they who they play? I think I read they lost. Did they lose 2-1 this past weekend?
I don't remember.
Okay, right. So you're so into it that you don't
Not saying I'm into it, but I'm just telling you the sports that are happening.
Listen, I'm of the opinion that there is a sports revival happening in San Diego. Yeah. I think that I'll explain it.
I can get to Anaheim faster than she can get to Anaheim from downtown LA.
I
want to go watch another baseball team.
Oh, okay. If you wanted to go to see the Angels.
Yeah. It's faster from San Diego than it is from downtown LA.
I mean, that way, yeah. Traffic. I mean, that's true.
I don't know, man. Anaheim is like, true. I mean, it's a perfect middle spot. I can just tell you that. But anyway, neither here nor there. Look, I understand why you're defensive. And I'm telling you, I think San Diego is going through a sports revival through San Diego State basketball, through what the Padres are doing. You mentioned the San Diego Wave, getting what will be an MLS team, the Legion, the Loyal, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's sports going on everywhere. It's just MLB, Major League Baseball, the big time is only the Padres. All right, look, we're just getting going. We're just getting underway. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Let's get to all of it. This is Kaplan and Crew. Hey, great friends. What's going on? Tuesday afternoon, Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. And their website is 7milecasino.com. Great job by 7 Mile Casino last Thursday hosting our dinner and comedy show. I guess if I have one gripe, it was that, man, when we got done, we couldn't even get on the tables. Everybody was having so much fun out there in the casino, playing blackjack and poker, eating amazing food, ordering drinks, smoke-free environment, only 7 minutes from downtown San Diego. We couldn't even get on a table. That's what an amazing job 7 Mile Casino is doing, attracting people to come on down and play. All right, Grande, Brown Man, we were talking about the Lakers Warriors. I definitely want to talk about a lot of hyper-local stories. MLS coming to San Diego, this Matt Araiza disaster with San Diego State football, and shout out to my man Dick Samurgin, who represented me and Billy Ray in 2012 when 1090 fired us back then, and we sued their asses, won, and got the CEO and his general manager fired immediately thereafter. So my man Dick Samerjian representing Matt Araiza, shout out to you. I want to talk about that. Talk about the Padres getting ready now for this week and the MLS coming to San Diego. Get to all those stories coming up. Where would you like to start on last night's Laker game, Grande? I guess maybe the best place to start is the storyline of the game. I mean, let's not bury the lead. Lonnie Walker the IV, wearing number 4. I love that. Lonnie Walker the IV
in game 4.
Huge night in game 4. Right. Huge night last night. 15 points all in the fourth quarter. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know what impressed me, Browner? The guts. What? To take the shots. You know what I'm saying? Like LeBron is giving you the ball and you've played like less than 30 minutes in the postseason so far. And, you know, we're in like the 10th game of the Lakers postseason. Guys played under 30 minutes. They bring him off the bench in the previous game and he scores 12 points. But it's late in the game. And maybe actually this was game 2 where they got blown out. But the point is that when you're in game 4 and it's a tight game and they put you on the floor and LeBron is giving you the ball, like my inclination would be like, okay, here, back to you. Here, you have it because it's your team. And, you know, this is, you know, your time. Here, LeBron, king, crown me. Okay. Lonnie Walker to have the guts to take the shots that he took, that to me was the impressive part. Am I not seeing it clearly?
It wasn't that Lonnie Walker had the guts to take those shots. It was that he got into a groove and then realized Steph Curry was guarding him. If you notice the pivotal moments in a lot of those shots down the end of the stretch, Steph Curry was guarding a lot of those dudes. When LeBron went to the basket and had a bunch of those layups, and when he almost hit that and one, Steph Curry. When Lonnie Walker was making a lot of these shots, Steph Curry was guarding him. So it's about getting – when he got comfortable, like Alex said, there was time during the year where he had these moments where him and Russell Westbrook were the most best offensive players the Lakers had. So he has it in him. You just got to find the right matchup. And the Lakers absolutely found the right matchup in Steph Curry repeatedly, which, again, puzzles me because Steve Kerr and that coaching staff have seen this in the finals multiple times when they go – when LeBron goes hunting for Curry at the end of games because they're easy baskets. So – I mean, shout out to Lonnie Walker. Do it again.
Now, I haven't
spin that wheel tomorrow. Who's going to show up?
I haven't said this since the day he was hired, but props to Darvin Ham yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Two massive, massive adjustments, which I said does not have in him, happened yesterday, both on both ends of the floor. When Steph Curry was wrecking the Lakers on pick and rolls because they would switch everything. Everything was being switched on Steph's pick and rolls. He either had an easy layup or somebody was wide open. He was absolutely wrecking them. What happens at the end of the game? You have the best defender in basketball when healthy. He can guard anybody. Just keep AD on Steph Curry. You saw how that finished at the end of the game.
And even if AD wasn't necessarily like blocking his shots, I mean, it was pretty clear, wasn't it, that he had to hit
the video board to get him over Anthony.
Right.
Davis.
That's my point. Is AD, even if he was far away from Steph, his height, his length, blah, 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 he was able to adjust how Steph was shooting. And, you know, if you ever go to any of these games or you see these videos online, Steph, before the game, he puts on this shooting exhibition. Man, the guy shoots from all over the place. It looks like one of those old Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, McDonald's commercials where they're playing horse and they're all over the arena. Like Steph literally takes the craziest shots, but AD in front of him forced him to adjust his shot angle. I don't know if this is like technical basketball talk here, but he forced him to shoot the ball higher, like rainbow that thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a great move too, Alex.
And the other one, by the way,
pretty obvious for anybody to see too, right?
Yeah, I thought so. And then the other adjustment, Browner just talked about it. In the fourth quarter, they knew that Steph was the only thing they had going offensively. So how can you try to neutralize him offensively? Make him work defensively.
Every play.
Exactly. Every play they gave the ball or they made some sort of move to get Steph to make Steph the primary defender on the ball. He was working so hard in that fourth quarter because he's the only thing they got going on offense. And on defense, the Lakers did not let him rest because the Warriors were garbage yesterday. Anytime Steph Curry's ass hit the bench, they were garbage. And they would just any lead that he amounted
gone
as soon as he sat on the bench. So the Lakers, shout out to Darvin Ham yesterday. I don't know if it'll work again in game five, but it worked like crazy in the fourth quarter of game four. The Warriors scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. That's it.
They had two double-digit leads when Steph Curry went out of the game, only to have him come back in a game down 4 points, up 4 points once, and then I think they were up two, but then the Lakers made a three, then they were down. Like, yeah. I don't know what the Warriors have left outside of, because they got to come back to LA to win the series. I don't know what they're going to be able to do that's going to change anything that the Lakers have. Like, the Lakers, from a matchup standpoint, this is great for the Lakers because they have athleticism to bother these guys. Other than Steph Curry, everybody else they've seemed to have figured out a way to bottle up. Other than Steph Curry, and if you don't let him create for these other dudes like he did yesterday, that's why the game was close for longer. What else can they do? Because Klay Thompson can't go off the dribble against anybody guarding him. Jordan Poole seems to be in a world that, honestly, somewhere else.
I think it's a really easy answer as a non-X's and O's nerd. They just, as a team, need to make their open shots for the Warriors. Like, they just haven't done it. I think it's easier said than done.
You're open for a reason.
How many times have they, like, obviously Draymond is the Russell. Like, they're just going to let Draymond do his thing.
Open for a reason.
I get it, dude. But the Warriors are not up there chucking 41 bad threes. They're 41 pretty good threes. They're just not making them.
I think you're so right. Like, it doesn't require 15 years as an NBA player to figure this thing out. You know, I don't have to have JJ Redick's resume on television to try and figure this thing out. The bottom line is that if the Warriors shoot the way we all know the Warriors to shoot, they have a very good chance of scoring 130 points. And in that case, they're likely to win. If they can't shoot and you get 9 points from Klay Thompson and zero from Poole, you're going to get the result you got last night. In particular, when AD, because remember, AD was on the odds evens program. Good game, bad game, good game, bad game. Yesterday was supposed to be a bad game. He actually had a really good game. But Alex, show us the video of, and this is, again, it doesn't take some expert. This is the last maybe 40 seconds of the game where AD is defending Curry. And just for those of you that are listening, watch what happens. I mean, first AD is trying to steal the ball from him way out deep. And then he's just draped all over. I mean, you talk about AD being tired. Look at the effort on the much smaller, faster player. And then Curry gets the rebound, gets the ball thrown back to him. It wasn't his rebound, but he got the ball thrown back to him. And AD forces another bad shot. And that went from like 38 seconds remaining in the game. And I think it was a 1-point game. The Lakers were up by one to down to like 16 seconds left. I mean, AD, I got to give him all the credit in the world. What an athlete. I mean, now, 7-foot guy versus a 6'1", 6'2" guy, fast, quick, creative. That was a great defensive moment right there for AD.
Plays before that, Steph Curry had made shots on Anthony Davis. So true that, hat off to Anthony Davis for when it came down to the next two, he stopped him. But again, at that point, you get the long rebound. It just didn't work. If I'm Steve Kerr, why don't you call a timeout? Where was Steve Kerr yesterday? Anybody look for him? Because I never thought that I would have to say Darvin Ham handed somebody their hat. And Steve Kerr got his hat handed to him yesterday by all people, Darvin Ham. Like, what? Are you watching too, bro? You next to Jack Nicklaus? You watching the game just like he is, huh? Feet up. Chill.
So I don't think Jack Nicklaus was at the game. Oh, he was there. No, Jack Nicklaus was not there.
No, he was not there.
Jack Nicklaus is the golfer, Browner.
Bro, they all the same. Y'all know who I'm
no,
talking about.
No, they not all the same. Jack Nicholson is an award-winning actor, and Jack Nicklaus, it's a common mistake, but there are two different people, to be clear, just so you know. Alex, let me let all of us here
Jack
together.
Jack get rolled in like that dude doesn't. I mean, Jack, I understand Jack, age, but
Jack Nicholson, here's the one thing about not looking particularly good with respect to his amazing career and his fandom and everything else.
And age.
Like, you, I don't know how old Jack Nicholson, now you got me doing it. I don't know how old Jack Nicholson is.
86.
He's 86 years old.
Yeah.
So to be 86 and to go to a game like that, and when you're wearing like an all black suit and shirt, older gentlemen, they just, things are constantly like falling off of them. So like, if you see an older guy in his 80s or 90s and he's all decked out in black, chances are there's like dandruff and like just skin, like just all, it's like all over the blackness of the suit. So Jack is sitting there in the front row. And when I say front row, I mean courtside, like you would expect to see Jack Nicholson, right? And he's wearing all black and there's just little white specks like all over it, right? You can see it on HDTV. And he's got binoculars. My man's in the front row. He ain't in the 300 section, Browner.
Well, maybe that's where he's looking.
My man is, listen, hold on. My man 86, bro.
Yeah.
My man 86 of them things.
I kind of regret my statement about being rolled in now knowing he's 86. I thought he was like 70.
No,
bro, you can be
out there. Yeah, bad, don't you?
And I feel bad because my grandmother turned 86 yesterday. So shout out to Jack Nicholson. You're living a hell of a life, my dog. Yep. Don't let Scott and your dandruff like shame you. I apologize. 86. I apologize.
No shame.
86.
Hey, listen, I had lunch the other day.
Was he 86?
I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. You ready for this? I had lunch the other day with a gentleman who has been an acquaintance of mine for years. I don't know him well at all. He's just part of a group. And there's a group of guys. This is like 10, 12 guys at this lunch, right? And I haven't seen these gentlemen in a long time. And when I tell you I'm far and away the youngest guy, that gives you an idea of how old everybody is. The oldest guy at the table sitting right next to me, 91 years old.
Shout out.
91 years old.
Wear whatever guy, you want to lunch.
This guy has been wearing a toupee for as long as I've known him. And it's the most obvious, ridiculous rug you've ever seen in your life. God love the guy. It's not Dom Capers, but it's very similar, Alex. Very, very similar. Guy's had lots of work done to his face. Looks great. You would never know he's 91. And the thing that he and I were talking about was he still works. And this guy's loaded and has been loaded forever. And he was telling me the story about his business the other day. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that you were in that business. I thought you were in like real estate and development and stuff. He's like, oh, I've been in that also forever. He's like, but this business that he's in, he's like, he worked like literally doing like data services for like every college in the country. And he's laughing at me. He's going, do you believe these colleges pay us to do this? They should be doing this themselves. Are they out of their minds? He goes, but I don't care. It's every college in the country. 91 years old, still actively involved in his business. People, I don't know. I don't know the answers. I don't know the answers to life. But here's what I think. I think that what'd you say, Alex?
Don't stop moving.
That's it.
And I don't want to say don't stop working. It's not about don't stop working. It's just don't stop.
Stopping. Like,
you, right. Just never stop. That's the key. Right. So whether it's using your brain, using your body, whether it's traveling, whether it's still being in business, whether it's having a hobby, whether it's volunteering, I don't give a crap what it is. If you never stop, you won't stop.
There you go. Perfect slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A body in motion stays in motion. Okay. The second you stop doing something, you retire, you put something down, you got to pick up something, some other part of your life, man. If you let all your skills die down, you let your brain get dull, you know, your body going, hey, man, what are we doing here? I'm good. I'm tapping out. Yeah. Shout out to 91. Shout out to 86. Shout out to all the numbers.
Well, that's just it. Last night, another quick story for you. Last night, I'm at this Laker game. I run into a young woman who I know. When I say young, she's probably in her early 50s. She just retired. Sold her business. Okay. What are you, Don Lemon now?
No, listen, I tell you, you're old all the time. So if you tell me some woman is 51, I'm not finna, listen, I don't treat men and women different. I treat them all the same. If you're 51, you're a woman, you old.
Really?
Chill.
Really? Really? What about this 91-year-old guy that you were just praising? 51-year-old lady. Anyway, story goes like this. She sold her business, made a lot of money, made a fortune. I said, are you bored now? Like now that you don't work anymore and you don't have the day-to-day? She told me she was bored. She was, I was worried I was going to be bored. but she has three teenage kids. She goes, and I'm at everything now because I used to be at work all the time. You go on vacation, my computer, my phone, it never stops. She goes, now that I'm retired because she sold her business and made a bunch of money, she's like, all my time is being invested into my children. And it's like the greatest thing ever. So
good for back her.
Back to the whole notion of just don't stop. Like, yeah. Just because one thing ends doesn't mean the next thing won't take your time and be as rewarding. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, this gets us all back to the Laker game. And in fact, before we get into Lonnie Walker's postgame comments and Steph Curry's postgame comments, can I just have 1 minute to ask you, Browner, how's the shoulders feeling and how's the MedCline sleep system going for you? Because as much as I brag about it and as much as I endorse the product, nothing really resonates kind of like reality. And you have seemed to have loved this sleep system with MedCline.
I have, and am currently now doing push-ups again every day. I could not do push-ups because I had such bad shoulder pain. The ability to be able to sleep and have my shoulders begin to regain strength, I have been able to do push-ups again. It is. I'm about to be swole, y'all. I'm about to be swole. Chest well, out.
I mean, think about that. Guy couldn't do a push-up. Uses this MedCline sleep system. Shoulder
whoa,
pain.
Whoa. I could do a push-up. It was just painful. Now they're painless push-ups, okay? Don't mean I'm kind of wimp.
No, I wasn't trying to make you sound wimpy. I was trying to make the point, though, that your shoulders were hurting so bad that you couldn't or wouldn't or didn't want to do a push-up, and now you can. That right there is the story. MedCline.com/greatfriends. A pop-up happens. You save 20%. And if you got shoulder pain or acid reflux issues or things that keep you from sleeping, this could be your answer to productivity and happiness. MedCline.com/greatfriends. All right. So Grande, now show us, if you don't mind, let's take a look at what Lonnie Walker had to say after this amazing performance, 15 points in the fourth quarter to lead the Lakers to a game four victory and a 3-1 series lead over the Warriors. Let's hear what Lonnie Walker said.
I mean, truthfully speaking, I'm a scorer mentality first, you know, so first shot in the fourth, first shot in the first. I mean, it don't really mean any difference to me, honestly. You know, I've been shooting a lot of shots my entire life. So, you know, I got a lot of confidence in myself. I know my value. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing. And, you know, by the grace of God and a lot of hard work and sacrifices and time, you know, in the gym, the fruition kind of came today.
All right. Well, there you go. I love the confidence. I must admit, I love the confidence. You know, it's not like this guy goes to a post-game press conference like, hey, look, you know, I didn't get to play a lot in the second half of the season. I'm just sort of waiting my time. Oh, tonight was my time. No, I'm a shooter. I'm a scorer. I mean, I got to say, man, I'm super impressed with the young guy. I mean, you're right, Alex. There was a time during the season he was one of their more exciting players early on when they were really bad. And he was kind of coming from out of nowhere and super athletic and big, crazy dunks and stuff. But to come off the bench in a moment like this, just fearless. I loved it.
Yeah. I am also just generally impressed by what the Lakers have done so far in the postseason, because I wasn't buying into anything the national media was saying about, you don't want to play this team in the playoffs. I mean, unless they lose three in a row, you know, making it to the Western Conference Finals is not something I envisioned this when this season started. That's for damn sure.
No. I mean, so now
to be one win away from that.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I'm almost now thinking to myself, I really don't want the Suns to beat the Nuggets. But on the other hand, if the Lakers are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, if the Lakers are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, wouldn't I rather see LeBron versus KD than LeBron versus the Joker?
I'd rather see LeBron versus anybody. Don't really care.
What you want to see in the next round is the Suns and the Lakers. The Nuggets are better than the Suns. And if somehow, through sheer miracle, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant pull this off, they're going to be out of gas. But at the same time, it's Devin Booker and it's Kevin Durant. You can figure that out because it's just them. It's similar to what you're playing now. If they play the Nuggets, Anthony Davis might die on the court because Jokic is going to play every game. He's going to play 40 minutes, and you're going to need AD. You just don't need him.
Let's just win one more game.
All right, well, let's win
one more game.
Hold that thought because, again, I want to get into a bunch of other stuff that's a bit more hyper local. So stick around. Final thoughts on this game last night, and then let me start moving us towards San Diego stuff, because there's a lot of San Diego news that I want to get to. Stick around. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. All right, everybody, calling a little timeout here, halftime report. See, Jack is sitting right over here. What's up, Jack? Hey, buddy. What's going on, buddy? Anyway, I do love the fact that the dog sits with me all day while we're on the air. Hey, just a couple of quick other mentions here of some of our great sponsors. Medcline.com/greatfriends is the website I want you to use. Medcline.com/greatfriends. If you have problems sleeping because of shoulder pain or acid reflux, this is probably going to be the answer, and you're going to thank us, okay? When you go to medcline.com/greatfriends, you're going to see a pop-up. It's going to give you 20% savings. And again, if you are tired during the day, if you're not as productive during the day, if you're struggling because you didn't sleep well, if you're in pain, this could be the answer for you, whether it's shoulder pain, acid reflux issues, the full body pillow, you can't get yourself comfortable and you can't sleep at night. This could be an answer for you. Browner has given this thing like this crazy raving endorsement because he doesn't sleep well at night because of shoulder pain. So if you've got that problem, please check this out, because a lot of you guys have already bought them and we want more of you guys to sleep well and be as productive as possible. Hey, I'm also quick shout out to our people from Torrey Holistics, as always. I was with a friend of mine the other day and he told me, hey, I heard you talking about that gummy that was joyful and present. That was the name of the description, joyful and present. It's like, I ran in and got some, and you were right. It was joyful and present. So if you're looking for any cannabis products related to sleep, related to recreation, pain management, whatever the case may be, however you use cannabis products, there are a lot of great places in San Diego to buy. But these are our partners, Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, and you save 20% when you use our promo code GIGGLES. I know a lot of you guys are already doing it. You're already using it. You become loyal Torrey and California Holistics customers. We appreciate that. They appreciate that. Win for all. All right, let's get right back to it. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It's Tuesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. Pretty much everywhere you are. We're on radio, we're on TV, we're on YouTube, we're on every audio podcast platform, we're on every social media platform. We are literally the easiest people on planet Earth to find, and you can always find us at our website, kaplanandcrew.com. My dog is freaking out because it's Tuesday, so there's somebody here doing something in the backyard, and of course,
as long as he's freaking out inside, we're good. We're golden.
Yeah, no, he's inside. He's inside. Yeah. He's actually legitimately losing his mind right now, this dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Last thoughts here, Lakers Warriors. I know it's been kind of like the primary discussion so far today. Are the Lakers going to win this thing now? They're up 3-1. Is it over? I don't have the confidence to say it's over. Pessimistic P, what do you say, man?
Pessimistic P says there's a lot of work to be done, my friend. There is a classic clip of one Kobe Bryant, who I believe was up 2-0 at the time. He's wearing must have been one of the first championships, because he's wearing a very ugly brown suit. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're like, hey, you don't look very happy at the post-game press conference. And he's like, what's there to be happy about? We haven't won anything. You got a lot of work to do, man. You won game four, but until you win four games, then you can be confident and be happy, right? Now, there's a lot of work to be done, man. Steph Curry, very good at basketball. Klay Thompson, maybe not so far this series, but very dangerous still. So I think that you're talking about a team that won a championship last season with basically the same roster. So a lot of work to be done. It's a little bit more optimistic, P, because of the lead. I don't know if the Warriors will win three in a row, but there's still a possibility that that could easily happen. So go out there and win a game. And just win it on tomorrow. Let's just be done. Get some rest. They need it.
Well, but that's actually an interesting point. Do you go for the win tomorrow night in San Francisco?
Yes.
Or do you maybe consider like, hey, you know what? They're good at home. They're not as good on the road. We're really hot right now at home. We'll see everybody on Friday night. We won't have to play LeBron as much, AD as much.
Who won game one and where was it?
I know exactly what you're saying. Hey, listen, who won game six in New York on ESPN.
Did you hear that this morning?
No, what's up?
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. What should the Lakers do about game five?
On game five and said, we're going to beat these guys in our building in game six. It's like in baseball where you don't have to, you save your pitcher for the one game you need to win. You don't have to win five games in a best of seven. You only have to win four. Again, I don't want to sidetrack the conversation. Well, sure I do. I'll sidetrack the conversation. They're not winning game five under any, the Warriors are the hearts of a champion going home with their backs to the wall. The Warriors are winning game five no matter what happens.
Mike Greenberg, Greeny.
Rest starters game five in a playoff series. Please, yeah, dude.
I know. It's not, load management in the playoffs.
GTFOH, por favor.
Yeah. Well,
I can't say what that stands for, Brown.
I know what it stands for. I actually speak that language. I get it. Did I see a TikTok video of a guy trying to make a prediction on how this series will go with his dog at the top of the stairs? Shooting hoops, and there's like a Lakers bin on one side and a Warriors bin on the other side.
Yeah.
And the dog has pretty much gotten this thing straight so far. He had like the Lakers win the first game.
Yeah.
I saw this video on TikTok.
Okay.
I know,
Alex. Let me explain it to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
His name is Air Korg. Yeah. He has 1.3 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
And this Corgi stands on top of the stairs.
This is the dog.
With two buckets in at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay.
And the owner throws a inflatable ball, and wherever the ball lands, that's what this Corgi thinks is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just do it for this series. He does it for all sports.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I follow this Corgi on TikTok. I tweeted out the video of the first round, and he predicted Lakers in six over the Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
I'll play you this video. Because everyone's going wild that he did predict the Lakers to start 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention, the Lakers don't end up winning this series, according to the Corgi.
All right. Shot one is the Lakers. Shot two is the Warriors. It's a 1-1 series. Shot three is the Lakers. It's a 2-1 series. Shot four goes into the Lakers. It's a 3-1 series. Shot five goes over to the Warriors. It's 3-2. Shot six goes to the Warriors. It's 3-3. And shot seven goes to the Warriors. And according to the dog on TikTok, the Warriors win the series in game seven. Corgi the dog.
Air Korg.
Oh, Air Korg.
Yeah.
Might be.
Yeah.
Might be.
Yeah.
Browner, you buying the dog?
That's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah.
Air Korg.
Air Korg.
Now I'm good, man. I'll pass. I'll leave it to the humans to decide the games. I'm good.
Good, huh?
Good for you. Get your TikTok numbers up though, Air Korg. Shout out. Get you a Purina NIL deal or something. I don't know.
That particular video has 6 million views right now.
Okay.
All his other ones are like, they do okay, but that one is definitely his most watched video, it looks like ever. So wow.
6 million views. Well, hey, look, this is the thing though. For guys like us,
nothing to do, huh?
Hey, let me tell you guys a quick little story. On Thursday night of last week when we were at 7 Mile Casino, Don Benson, who goes by La Costa Don on Twitter, who's a great supporter of the show. Don comes up to me on Thursday night and he goes, "Hey Cap," he said, "I have been I grew up in the LA area. He's a hardcore Angels fan." He said he grew up a Lakers fan. But he moved to San Diego. He became a Padres fan. He still likes his Angels, of course. He goes to a lot of Angel games. But because being in San Diego, there's no NBA, so many of us who aren't like hardcore NBA or basketball fans, even though there's a ton of Laker fans in San Diego, most of us didn't pay attention to the NBA. So Don says, "For years, I listened to you and Billy Ray. You never talked about the NBA." He goes, "But now that you and Browner and Alex and Lawhead and everybody's so into it, all of a sudden, Don's like, I'm back to watching the Lakers. I'm super in to the postseason." So shout out to you, Don. I'm glad this all worked out. That on a night like last night, where the Lakers are playing the Warriors and in a really important game, the Padres had the night off. But here we are in the middle of the afternoon, and Padres and Minnesota going to start here pretty darn soon.
And I don't think Don is alone, because this series is I mean, the NBA, we said this. The NBA wanted this series, and it's for this reason. They peaked at about almost 13 million viewers on Saturday night, and the blowout, and it ended up averaging like 8.7 million viewers that game, which is the most watched non-finals game in like 24 years.
That's crazy. Like that.
Wow. Yeah. That is
cherish them, because there won't be a lot of these left. There won't be a lot of these left, man.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're into these NBA playoffs, then today you got Philly and Boston, which is a great series going right now, tied at two. And then later tonight, you've got the Suns and the Nuggets, and that series is tied at two. So if you're just a sports fan, but not like a fan of one of these teams, you got two games back to back tonight that are in series that are tied. But I think a lot of people will go back to the Padres tonight after the series loss to the Dodgers this past weekend. Alex, set us up because this Padres game is going to happen in the Central Time Zone. So not long from now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Michael Wacha takes the mound tonight, 5-4-6 ERA, 2-1 record against Louis Varland, who is 0-0-5-9-1 ERA. Padres 8-6 on the road, Twins 2-4 in their last six games. And what I was concerned about, what I am concerned about for the Padres, as far as having to travel to Minnesota on Thursday, fly back to LA, play the Dodgers the next day, as we talked about earlier, the Dodgers were hungover. Because they flew directly from San Diego Sunday night, got in super late or early Monday morning in Milwaukee, and they got bounced yesterday 9-2. So Dodgers lose a game, but right now still can't get over the D-backs. Dodgers in first place in NL West, 21-15. Diamondbacks 20-15. Taking on the Marlins tonight at 6:40, and then the Padres 18-17.
I'm getting a lot of heat from my LA colleagues. You know, oh, your gutty little Padres, they got spanked this weekend by the Dodgers. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'd really call it a spanking necessarily. It was a deflating series loss. I mean, you are home. You got the place buzzing and, you know, crowded. There are a lot of things. You have them down two outs in the ninth, and then Mookie Betts hits that home run, and then they wind up winning it in extra innings. Yeah, it was deflating. And I'll tell you something else that was deflating is if you're a Padres fan and you flew down to Mexico City, or if you are a Padres fan and you went out to Phoenix for the first series and Padre fans have started to travel and take places over, I kind of feel like the Dodger fans, I mean, Alex, you talked about that parade this past weekend. I feel like the Dodger fans, they kind of took over. So very deflating series for the Padres, to be sure.
Well, hopefully not deflating for the team.
Right. Yeah, hopefully these guys can get it back together today in these next couple of games and then go to LA and return the favor. I mean, that would be your goal. All right, hold on a second. Check me on this. But do I see our man Gary Cooper from Mountain Trust in the waiting room?
Yes.
Hey, great friends. What's happening? Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. To all of our YouTube viewers getting involved in our YouTube chat, I always tell everybody on YouTube, like, spread the word. You know, when you're watching on YouTube versus listening on YouTube, you can actually click the share button and you can text your friends, or you can put the link on Twitter. You can put it on Facebook. You can email your friends. There's a way to share the podcast on YouTube that if you're driving down the road on radio, unless you call your buddy and go, yo, turn on 1090 right now. Kaplan's talking about us. That's the only way to do it. With YouTube, click that share button and tell people, because we're continuing to grow this community. I'll tell you guys, I'd really love to see us get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of 2023. Alex, look at you go. Alex is now for YouTubers. Now we're starting to put a scroll at the bottom of the YouTube show. Radio listeners, you got to come check us out on YouTube. Alex, you like playing with the new toys, don't you?
Trying.
Look at the scroll. Visit KaplanandCrew.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Kaplan and Crew. Like, comment, and share. That's so cool. We have a scroll. Maybe it should say something like, get yourself a new brown or white crispy?
Oh, can definitely say that. You can definitely say that.
What time it is. Hit that website, man. Get that merch, baby.
Yeah, get that merch.
Speaking of.
Hey-o.
There you go, Browner. Look what I put. Front and center.
That's right.
Look at that. That's sharp. That's right. I like it. The merch shop at KaplanandCrew.com right now through Thursday, everything is 15% off. So if you want that Seidler sustainable t-shirt like Louie was wearing last Thursday night, or you want that a wise man once said, who was with us sitting at our table? I'm trying to remember who that was. Who was sitting with Rigby. Us? No, not Joe. Joe Rigby was wearing a Chatelain's t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Was it Joe Rodriguez?
No. It wasn't Joe. I don't think. Oh gosh, I'm blanking. Anyway,
he wasn't wearing a wise man once said shirt.
Maybe it was Joe.
I think it
was
Joe.
Shout out to you, Joe. Appreciate you. So anyway, listen. Hey, the merch shop is open, and there's 15% off everything now through Thursday. So take a look at that. May 11th. That's my father's birthday. My father's going to turn 75 on May 11th.
Shout out.
My son's going to turn 23 on May 11th.
Shout out as well.
Okay. Double shout out. There you go.
Double shouts.
All right. So listen, at the end of the last segment, we were talking to Gary Cooper, and I said I wanted to get hyper local here in this segment, and then we're going to get to the highlight of the day, which I want to do. There are three stories in particular that are San Diego-centric that we haven't talked about. Fellas, let's see if we can get all three of them in to get going here. I'll start off with this one. I kind of really feel bad for Matt Araiza. I do. The story last year that, you know, just remember, by the way, he had had an All-American career at San Diego State out of Rancho Bernardo High School. He was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. And then in training camp, all these accusations came out that, you know, these sexual assault allegations of a minor, a girl who's under 18 years old, and he's at a party at San Diego State, and he's doing something with her outside. And then the way the story was written and reported was he brings her inside, hands her off to all these animals, and then all of his football buddies take their turns, and they all videotape the entire thing. I mean, it was a really, really salacious, bad story. And the truth is, for Matt Araiza, who maintained his innocence throughout, he lost his job with the Buffalo Bills and has never gotten back to playing in the NFL. Even though a lot of this stuff was kind of, he was sort of cleared, if you will. Prosecutors weren't going forward with a criminal case. The accuser was going forward with a civil case. So does this kid get, doesn't he have the opportunity to get his career back? I mean, is he talented enough to get over the toxicity? But is he really as toxic since he's kind of been cleared through this stuff? You guys following this Araiza story?
I guess this is hard for me to have us to say this. There's so much attention given to it when the accuser's attorneys launched this case. Because the stadium was opening and there was just a lot of buzz around San Diego State at the time.
And they saying there was a cover up at San Diego State.
Right. So they made this, look as if this was a slam dunk case. Here we are pretty much at the end of the criminal portion of it. Civil can mean a whole lot of different things. And now they're saying he wasn't even there. So my problem is this. How do you get this man's life back to where it was? What's the penalty for people who falsely accuse people? Because when you get accused of rape, you cannot shake that.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't. Yeah. And so I don't know. I wasn't there, but the police are telling us this is the facts now. When we say, oh, let's let the facts come out. Because everybody jumped on this kid and he lost his livelihood. His reputation is forever damaged.
Right. But the question is, can he get it back? I mean, that's really, well, but hold on. Let me ask you a question. And I want to talk about a bunch of other stuff, so I'll make it a little briefer. Are you telling me?
But you see what we're doing. But listen, what you're saying, that's the problem. That's the problem. Not you're the problem. But when I want to make this brief, the accusations were not made brief. The clearing of his name. I'm not blaming you. We're on the time schedule, so I understand what you're saying. But for the greater good of Matt Araiza's life, the accusation was a mountain. the I'm clear has been a molehill, and that's not fair to him. Mm-hmm. We're not going to save his career. We're not going to save his reputation. Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening to him now. People are just going, oh, sounds like he's innocent. Oh, Padres played today at 4. That's what's happening to him.
But and that's the problem when you talk about accusations in general. They're accusations. And like that's our job. And we went at it and we talked about it for numerous segments on numerous shows. Yeah. And that's why I always feel personally, I always feel so uncomfortable talking about this stuff because we're talking about what she said. And then we can only go from whatever evidence is provided to us at the time. But when you're talking about rape and you're talking about sexual assault and you're talking about a gang rape and a woman coming out of a room bloody with her piercings ripped off, which is all we knew. And then now it's like, wait, so that didn't happen. Ariza wasn't even there. And then whatever, you know, so it's just like, it's such a difficult thing to talk about.
And the police who watched the video said it doesn't even look like a rape occurred. It looks more consensual. Like, let's tell it what, let's tell what the article, what the police
said. The prosecutor, the San Diego DA said there is no evidence from videos that there was any sort of any, you could never prosecute anybody on rape. From the
video, they called it the sex tape. In the article, it says sex tape, meaning they videoed the sexual act. And of the video that the authorities saw, there was no signs of rape.
Yeah, I think what you're angry about, Browner, and I understand where you're coming from on this, is there's no recourse for the kid.
Correct.
You know, this young woman makes these accusations for whatever reason. She's underage. She's embarrassed. She did something she feels bad about. I don't know. Okay, look, I got three daughters, and believe
and people
me,
make mistakes. They and make mistakes.
And I would feel, and I would, as a father, if my daughter came home and told me the story that we all received that was reported, if that were the story that my daughter were telling me, I'd want justice. Okay,
absolutely.
But if there's video evidence, and the story is one thing, but the evidence kind of tells us a different story, are we covering up for San Diego State players? I don't think so. I don't think San Diego State football has the kind of cachet that you cover things up, you know. The reporting now, Alex, put there's a report from I think it's Yahoo Sports, but I think I don't know where you where did you pull this one from?
Yahoo Sports. Okay, it was Dan Wetzel. Yahoo Sports was the one that reported this. I'll read it for you. A fuller picture of what police and prosecutors found, however, is now available via a 200-plus page transcript of a 100-minute meeting obtained by Yahoo Sports where a deputy district attorney offered a detailed explanation to the girl and her attorneys. Perhaps most noticeably, the district attorney's office concluded Ariza couldn't have led the girl into the alleged gang rape because he had left the home at about 12:30 a.m., an hour prior to when evidence suggested the alleged gang rape would have occurred. Quote, he wasn't even at the party anymore, unquote. Deputy District Attorney Tricia Amador explained to the girl. Later, Amador stated of the time of the events, quote, all I know is that at that point, suspect Ariza is gone from the party, unquote. Additionally, prosecutors told the girl that video recordings of the incident in the bedroom made it impossible to determine, let alone prosecute anyone on whether there was a gang rape at all that night rather than consensual with the other men.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy story, Alex. I understand why you're uncomfortable about it. I am too. I know the kid. I know the family. I don't know them well. They're not close friends. All I'm saying is I followed this kid's career since he's about 14, 15 years old. And to see a young man have the kind of college career he had, do something, whatever it was that he did, that probably is not like the most, you might be a little turned off. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Maybe nothing ever happened. I'm not sure. I don't know. But the accusations, Browner, to your point, can you ever fix your reputation? And is there an NFL team that says Matt Ariza was such a great punter that he can add so much value to our team that we're willing to live with what he's with the accusations that follow him?
But let me ask you a question. If he's innocent, as this has said, why aren't teams kicking down his door to get him to come punt for them?
Because he's a punter.
Because he's a punter. If he were a quarterback, and Deshaun Watson is the perfect example. Hey, look, he's involved in some stuff that's kind of unsavory. But you know what? He is a top five quarterback in the NFL. We'll give him a $200+ million guaranteed contract. When you're a rookie punter and you've never played in an NFL game and you're not like producing Hall of Fame statistics, the question is, do I want a player who has a past, unfortunately for him, innocent as he may be, do I care that much about punting? Or are there a dime a dozen other guys who can do exactly what he can do? Is he really that much better than everybody else? Not really.
But if you're really saying, if it has now been proven he broke no laws, then he should be able to go back to the way things were before. And I say this, and I say this with complete and utter respect for women who go through this situation. The women who are actually abused, okay? The women who are actually sexually assaulted, the women who falsely accuse people should pay a penalty for doing so, because it needs to be done that way so the women who are assaulted can feel good and feel safe coming forward. Because the women who falsely accuse these men, like, this kid's life got completely derailed for something apparently he didn't do.
Right, but he as a punter is not Kobe Bryant. So look, I'm with you. I would love to see an NFL team give him another shot. Look, hey, hold on a second. Time out. You know, even if it's not an NFL team, maybe it's a team in the XFL or the USFL.
There are three leagues now.
Listen, if Trevor Bauer can go play pro baseball in, I think it's Japan right now, right? Mm-hmm. If Trevor Bauer can get another chance in Japan, we're not paying attention to that. I know that he's playing. I don't follow it, but he's trying to resurrect his career. Matt Araiza is a young kid. He's probably 23 years old. He's got time. And I hope for Matt's sake, he can get it done. All right, keeping on going here, by the way, because I said there were a lot of other local stories I want to get to. I know we could ramble on this all day long.
Yeah.
There is an expectation, and I said this early in the show, I believe the city of San Diego is going through a sports revival. Here's what I mean. San Diego State basketball has elevated to the biggest of the big time because they played in a national championship game. Will it sustain? Probably not. Are they going back to the Final Four next year? Probably not. How long will it be before they get back to a Final Four? Don't know, if ever. But I think having that moment, the Padres spending the way they are and being what they are now perceived to be nationally, even though they're not necessarily record-wise yet. Alex, you bring up the San Diego Wave, 30,000 people to see a women's professional soccer game. I really think that as teams are added from big-time leagues, the city is proving and the fan base is proving it's a viable place for sports to live. Just because the NFL left doesn't mean that San Diego doesn't have great sports fans and a lot of them. And now it looks like this MLS thing is actually ready to close. What do we know, Grande?
Well, according to the Union Tribune, if you read it, it sounds like it's already done with MLS. They're trying to finalize a lease with Snapdragon Stadium. An official announcement could come as soon as mid-May. An investment group led by Egyptian billionaire in the Sequoia tribe is close to presenting a formal bid for San Diego expansion to the MLS board, according to multiple sources close to the deal. It would play at Snapdragon Stadium, Mission Valley, beginning 2025. Team name hasn't been determined, loyal or not involved, but if you just kind of read the whole breakdown, what it sounds like is this is pretty much done. The only thing that's going to happen is the formality of it all, announcing it all. There is a date in that article that says May 18th could be the official announcement of this happening. It's going to cost them $500 million to create a new expansion team. And they will be playing at Snapdragon Stadium. There is going to be like a little bit of they have to build a better visitors locker room. That's the only thing that they got to do. Eventually, they might build canopies, whatever, to cover. But it sounds like this is done. And if you listen to Don Garber in the months previous, it's been done. It's just they just have to like knock out the details.
You know, I saw Kevin Faulkner at the Derby party I was with Jason.
Excuse me, really quickly. You know, by the way, that I have seen Kevin. I was flipping channels. I saw Kevin Faulkner, I think, is hosting a show on KUSI.
Which sold, by the way, to Nexstar.
And which again, that's exactly where I was going. And yesterday, here's this right-wing, conservative, local channel that is pushing the agenda of their extreme right-wing owners, and they were just sold to the same people that own Fox 5 here in San Diego. I thought that was fascinating, that Faulkner would be hosting a show on KUSI, and then KUSI would get sold to Fox 5. But you were saying he was at that Derby party?
He was at the Derby party. And it's weird to see him there because he played a hand in what occurred with the Chargers leaving. How massive, we will never know. But I don't question whether San Diego has sports fans. They've proven that through decades and decades of dedication to the Chargers, the way that the city absolutely went all out for San Diego State making it to the Final Four, the way the city is energized with the Padres. I have no doubt about the fans. I have no question about the fans. If San Diego State football was ever as good as San Diego State men's basketball, you would see that in a football aspect again. The problem is the leagues don't value San Diego.
Well,
the NBA,
but it seems like
doesn't
MLS
value
does.
San Diego.
No, NBA does not. NHL
does
not.
NFL does not. The NHL
NFL
does
not. But MLS seems to. So,
what we cover here, what we cover in this country, soccer has not popped the bubble yet. They have not gotten into the stratosphere as to where they are as important as Major League Baseball or hockey at this point.
But I would also like to point out, though, that I don't know where you were going with this, Scott. Anytime any soccer of relevance is on television,
in
San Diego is top five for viewership.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying to you, Browner. True. Everything you just said is true. In L.A. on 710, they've got the LAFC games. We don't talk about them. We don't go to their games. We don't watch their games, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say this. If San Diego had an MLS team, I'd be really, really interested in Major League Soccer. I already love the game. I just don't watch it and follow it. But that's like this past weekend. I watched this F1 race in Miami. I didn't know any of the drivers except two guys.
If they were when, because as Alex said, this appears to be a done deal. When this occurs, will they drive traffic to sports radio or sports entertainment in this town? Because that's the ultimate question that I care about.
Yeah. It depends. That does depend.
Depends if it's going to be people like you who don't care about soccer and refuse to even be open-minded about it, or if it's going to be people like me who will constantly push it.
Right.
Because
we got to get the highlight of the day. Just last thought. Go ahead.
If you get a team here, you can get somebody like me, but you got to get me there.
Well, that's just it. But that's the whole point is that getting a team in San Diego should hopefully turn a sports fan who's not a soccer fan into a supporter. That's exactly right. You got it. All right, Grande, let's get to the highlight of the day, man, because I want to hustle this up before this segment ends.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Today brought to you by Tori Holistics. Promo code is GIGGLES. GIGGLES. That is the promo code. Spend $75 at Tori California. You're going to get 20% off your purchase at Tori and California Holistics. Promo code GIGGLES.
GIGGLES. That's right.
Giggles. Okay. Tonight, Scott, there is a certain pitcher from a certain country who plays for the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
He's pitching.
Mm-hmm.
He's my highlight of the day.
Okay.
Why is he my highlight of the day? Because I think he's about to have the best year ever, 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 ever. This is his numbers so far this year. Shohei Ohtani is pitching tonight. He's hitting 301, seven home runs. 22 RBIs, pitching 4-0, 2.54 ERA in only 39 innings pitched. He struck out 59 so far. I mean, he would be the Padres' best hitter. He would be the Padres' best pitcher. This dude is on fire this year, and I think I'm going to find a way to watch this game.
Who are they playing tonight, the Angels?
They're playing the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah, won last night. They beat the Astros last night.
I don't know, but I have what's it called? Bally's West. So I think I'll watch it there.
Okay. Hey, we're going to get to the uncensored portion of the podcast where I know Browner would love to go off on Ohtani, but what can you say? What can you say about his individual dominance?
Find out.
That's right. Find out. All right. Radio listeners, we got a lot more we're going to get to, including the Lakers and the Warriors and a lot of hyper-local San Diego stories too. But for everybody else, let's get uncensored on the podcast right now. All right, we get to the uncensored portion of the podcast. By the way, somebody, it was yesterday, you know who hit me up yesterday, Browner? Our man Ryan, who was down at the comedy show on Thursday. Ryan, who was wearing all that old school Padre gear, the guy who had a great story about his brother's ashes and Musgrove spreading them out. That guy is super hyper engaged with what we're doing on the show. And you know how we've talked about Joe Rigby and Juliana and a group of people who all kind of have said, we want to help the show build and grow. That guy, Ryan, he really wants in too, in a big way, and can be a smart guy. And like Patrick Williams, like you've talked about creating like the great friends sales squad, you know,
did. It is established and it is working as we speak.
Oh, really?
We just don't have anything of substance yet.
Okay. Well, this is news to me, but I'm happy to.
You knew about this. We told you.
No, I don't. I know no detail of this. I really don't.
You literally said, that's great. Glad I'm not involved. That's great.
Yeah, I'm not involved.
The whole point of it is not to involve you until it's time to cut checks.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm down for that. Tell me when money's coming in.
Right. Yeah. That's the whole point of.
I guess my point was, though, that Joe Rigby is an angel for offering. Mm-hmm. Juliana is a doll for wanting to be involved. I love the fact that Ryan now wants to be part of all of this. Patrick, you know, wants to get involved. I think it's great. I really do. Yeah, I think, look, just like what Gary Cooper said earlier on the show, what other radio station, what other show is doing the kind of stuff that we're doing? If we incorporate our great friends into becoming a sales squad and that turns the show into something bigger and better, wow, we've done something no one's ever really done before if that happened. So I'm down.
True.
I'm down. Hey, into this uncensored portion, Alex, you finished us off there with the highlight of the day, mm-hmm. Ohtani. Browner, what could you possibly say about Ohtani?
You know, I just sat here on this show.
Yeah.
For a long time, man. And I just listened to you guys just bash Russell Westbrook and just bash him and bash him and bash him. And he's this and he's that. He doesn't win. And I say the same thing about Ohtani. He's great. He doesn't win. And now here I am. I had to face this whole Ohtani business all year because he's got great statistics. He doesn't win.
Did Russell Westbrook have great statistics?
Averaged a triple-double 2 seasons in a row. Never been done before. One of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA.
Is he considered like one of the truly, truly transcendental players in his game?
Yes, was. Well, was. He's past his prime. Yeah, was. I would say Ohtani's in his prime. Here's the mark of a great player. You cannot tell the history of basketball without Russell Westbrook.
Why not?
You can't do it.
Why not?
Because he did something that has never been done before.
So what? So he had a bunch of great individual statistics.
So if you don't value the individual statistics, then why the hell y'all telling me how great Ohtani is when all it is individual statistics?
Because he, Ohtani, is truly doing something that no one's ever done before. Russell Westbrook was playing good basketball. That's all. Put up numbers.
What is Ohtani doing?
He's doing something
putting
no one's ever done before. He's pitching
putting
and
up
hitting.
Numbers.
Pitching
putting
and
putting up numbers. No one's ever had a triple-double 2 seasons in a row. Russell Westbrook did.
Is that so?
He's
that's the
only
comp.
Person.
So that's the comp. What about the fact that he's like been a locker room cancer everywhere he's gone? He's been a guy who's been bad on in locker rooms. He's not a team player. I mean, what about all those kinds of things?
How great is the Angel locker room? Fired multiple coaches. Had a guy die of drugs while on the team. Like, what are we doing? Owner sucks.
First of all,
what are we
fired
talking
one
about?
Manager, and that drug situation happened before Ohtani. Come on.
But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Organizationally.
Oh, you got to blame Ohtani for what happened before he got there.
All I'm saying is y'all telling me
that
he's
this,
great.
Alex?
Oh, he's a locker room guy. Oh, Ohtani. Oh, how's the locker room? Don't know. He don't speak the language.
Why'd you do this, Alex?
You see his New Balance commercial? Did you? He said three words the whole damn commercial. Great job, New Balance. Now you got two guys who don't talk.
Yeah. How many does Kawhi speak? Zero.
That's what I'm saying. New Balance, your marketing is fantastic. You got two guys who don't speak.
God, he's so angry about Ohtani. Look what you did. Look what you did.
I'm not angry about Ohtani. I'm angry about y'all coming to me with these statistics, and I'm giving you another person who is a marvel statistically, and you're going to tell me, those are just numbers. Yeah. What the hell do you think Ohtani is?
Wait till Ohtani goes to the Dodgers.
Then you come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can talk to me.
Alex, right now, I blame you. You're laying out of all this, and you're leaving me on my own here. And you did this.
Yeah, I blame Browner. Just talked himself into circles.
How? What do you mean? Do you like Westbrook? Is Westbrook great?
Westbrook is a fantastic player when there are no expectations of success.
Same thing for Otani.
So far, I actually agree with you. I wasn't disagreeing. I actually agree with you. He has not been on a winning team, but I would say that you're comparing a basketball team where one player can very much easily make a difference, as opposed to baseball, where one player does not make that much of a difference.
But in this case, according to this guy down here, this is different.
Because like clearly, one player doesn't make two. One player doesn't, right, and he has a career winning record, 32-14 when he pitches. He wins when he pitches. He's the Angels are 6-1 when he pitches this year. Last year, they only won games when he pitched. So he makes that much of a difference when he pitches. But clearly, here in San Diego, the Padres made it to the furthest they've made it in 25 years without their best player. That's the kind of sport that baseball is. So you can't compare how did the Bucks do or how'd the Lakers do when they didn't have LeBron James? How'd the Lakers do when they didn't have it? Like one player in basketball makes a significant difference, whereas one player in baseball makes a difference, but not that much of a difference. He's on a bad organization. You just said it. He's in a bad organization. It's not his fault that he's in a bad organization. They just gave him the most money. So
all right, listen, let me do this. Let me say this. To be continued, okay?
No, it ain't. No,
I gotta go. I gotta go. All right.
I'm not doing this again.
Okay. Well, you guys, you want to finish this off? I gotta go.
Why do you always gotta go?
Because I am dealing with insane amounts of personal strife. That is why.
Let me leave you with this personal strife. Let me leave you with this.
Because no human being should have to deal with what I am dealing with in real life. That is
uncensored.
So now he brought this up. See, now he brought this up. So now he's trying to get you wound up. He's going to do that to get me wound up while he's going to sit here and fucking say nothing the entire time.
No person should have to deal with the bullshit that I am having to deal with in real life.
The show.
And that is why every minute counts.
We talked a lot about old people today. Let's finish with this strife, Scott.
Hit the end button.
Robert De Niro, 79 years old.
Oh, my God.
Just welcomed his seventh child.
What?
That's personal strife right there, my friend.
That's personal stroke right there.
Wow. He can
still
make it happen.
He's still fucking at 79.
Not only
good
fucking,
producing.
Shit's still working. Yeah.
Hey, man, listen. Hey, right.
Bye, everybody.
The train's still running, regardless of the tracks.
All the love, everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace out.